From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In deep inner Asia, in Tuva, along the mountains and vast grasslands of southern Siberia and northern Mongolia, lives a culture of sound, a culture that traditionally belonged to nomads, herders, and horsemen, deeply attuned to the sounds of nature, so deeply attuned that they speak with nature, to wind and water and herd. It is a way of life there, and in more recent years, in the West, that conversation is called throat singing. Since the early 1990s, the celebrated Tuvan throat singing group Hunhurtu has been bringing that conversation of animism, nature, and the nomadic life to a very modern world. Tonight, the group begins a new U.S. tour, but before they hit the stage, they'll be playing and talking with us right here in the On Point studio. This hour, we're diving into the world of Tuva throat singing, a world that now stretches from Outer Mongolia to the concert halls of Los Angeles and London. You can join the conversation. What do you hear in these voices? Can you hear the taiga, the wind, the endless grasslands of Tuva? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio are three members of Hunhurtu, the world's best-known Tuva throat singers. I'm joined by Sayan Bapa, by Kagulal Kholvalig, and by Alexei Sariglar. Also in the studio, Vladimir Oboronko, who represents their label in the U.S., Green Wave International, and will take on a second role this hour as translator. Welcome to all of you, Vladimir, and all of our musicians. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And with us from Norwich, Vermont, Ted Levin, musicologist from Dartmouth College. Ted was the first American to go to Tuva to do ethnographic field research on the region's music in 1987. He brought Hunhurtu to the U.S. for the first time in 1993. He's produced a number of their recordings and has written a new book on their music and culture, Where Rivers and Mountains Sing, Sound, Music, and Nomadism in Tuva and Beyond. Theodore, Ted Levin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
It's just fantastic. I've got to paint a picture of this. It's the most remarkable trio that we have in the studio. Men clearly fully comfortable with their instruments and music out of another part of the world, clearly comfortable in this part of the world. Wow. It's quite a picture. You all look wonderful, and the music is quite astounding. I want to get this in our ear just as quickly as we can, live and here in the studio. Vladimir, if we want to hear something right out of the gate here, mm-hmm. what should we listen to just to have this fully in our ears?
Kargara, I think Kargara style of throat singing, Kagalol can demonstrate to us now.
Kagalol, and before we do that, just a moment, Ted, can you tell us what are we about to hear in Kargaya?
Is one of several different styles of throat singing in which the singer is actually producing two separate pitches simultaneously by manipulating and selectively amplifying harmonics or overtones that are naturally present in the voice. So you'll hear a low, growling, guttural, fundamental tone, and above that you'll hear another voice that's producing these overtones.
Let us hear it. This is the Kargaya style throat singing from our musician friend with us today, Kagalal.
Allah yundur
From the far side of Siberia and Mongolia, ladies and gentlemen, there is a sound you may not hear coming out of your shower in the morning. Fantastic, unbelievable, kind of low bagpipe beneath and that high wind in the bamboo sound playing above, all from one voice, the master throat singer, Kagalel Holvalig. Powerfully evocative. Ted Levin, please... We're not sure what to evoke with this. Paint the picture. Give us some context around this astonishing, soulful sound.
Throat singing has traditionally been used by the herders of Tuva and Mongolia and other parts of South Siberia to evoke, to represent the sounds that they live with day in and day out, 24 hours a day, the sounds of wind, of flowing water, of animals, of birds, and these days of motorcycles and jeeps and tractors. They have a remarkable mimetic facility. If you speak with almost anyone there, of course, children in our culture also tend to be good at mimicry, but it's something that perhaps our society, our culture tends to discourage. It's considered something for children, whereas in Tuva, people take great pride in their ability to imitate and represent all kinds of sounds.
And in what we've just heard, paint the Tuvan landscape and fauna for us. What does this deep throat singing mimic in that environment?
What it's mimicking, it could be a couple of different things. There's a style of this kargira that's called mountain kargira. And it's interesting that what it's representing is the height of mountains by doing exactly the reverse. By being very, very deep and low, it's representing something very, very high and grand. It can also represent the vast openness of the steppe. There's a kind of kargira called steppe kargira. And when you hear this sound or when the singer sings it, what he is visualizing is just this vast, beautiful, open steppe country.
Ted Levin, you've described Tuva throat singing, the music, as a kind of Olduvai gorge of music. That is a locus of the very, very ancient, made visible now, a sort of proto-musical world. What do you mean exactly by that?
I think that mimesis, that is imitation or representation, is one of it's a quality that is being shown now by neurophysiologists to be one of the most archaic qualities of our consciousness, of human consciousness. And of course, we use imitation in many aspects of our life. It's one of the basic ways that we learn to be human, that we learn language, that we learn behavior, that we learn sports, that we learn music, that we learn how to do surgery. And it's also a way that cultures have learned music. It's not found so much in most Western music now, which tends to be based more on abstract, formal ideas and conventions. But in this Tuvan music, that's so closely linked to the natural world, I think that we're seeing way, way back, really, to the dawn of human music making.
You say Tuvans don't even have a word for music comparable to our Western understanding of it, that it's simply the sounds of their world that they're, in a way, offering back to the world.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Wow. We are diving in this hour to the world of Tuva throat singing, a world of Siberian, Mongolian borderlands and nature, a world of global touring and jet planes as well, with the celebrated Tuvan throat singing group Hun Hur Tu. Three of the members of that group are with me in the studio. We're going to hear a lot of music from this hour. They are remarkable men from a very distant part of the planet, and you could hear it, hear the herds, the wide open spaces, the wind and water in their music. Let's listen as we go out. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be back in a moment. You can join us. What do you hear coming out of this nomadic life of inner Asia here? 1-800-423-8255 is our number. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are diving in this hour to the world of Tuva throat singing with the celebrated Tuvan musicians, the group Hun Hur Tu. With me in the studio, Hagalul Holvalig, Sayan Bapa, and Alexei Sariglar. They are outstanding musicians from a very distant part of the planet. You can hear some sound of that environment behind me right now. Imagine an entire genre of music taken from that environment with that whole mix of nature, livestock, herding, the pastoral nomadic tradition woven right through it. Vladimir Oboronko is with us as well. He's setting off this very day on a U.S. tour with Hun Hur Tu. They just arrived last night, flew in from Tuva, the far north and west of Mongolia, south of Siberia, and you can hear it in the music. We're joined as well from Norwich, Vermont, by Ted Levin, professor of music at Dartmouth College. He was the first American to go into this country to do the field research on the ground that led to the music being opened up to the entire world, certainly to U.S. audiences and audiences far beyond. We have in the studio with us some really rare and marvelous musicians today, and I want to get right back into that music. Vladimir, if you can tell us, we've got a tune here, Oguden Taiga. Mm-hmm. This is with everybody playing, and the instruments that we will hear, who's playing what?
And the instruments are traditional instruments. Kaygalol Havalig plays igil, and Sayan Bapa plays Tushpulur and guitar, and Alexei Sariglar plays igil at this point, and drums also, and traditional drums.
Okay, so and in this particular tune, we have two of the igil, which looks like a very long-necked string instrument, if I've got that correct, mm-hmm. Guitar and the drums as well. Let's listen. This is Hun Hur Tu playing Oguden Taiga. From the far side of Siberia and Mongolia, this studio has heard some wild and beautiful sounds, but never like that. How fantastic. It is the Tuvan musical group, Throat Singers, Hun Her Tu, with me in the studio, Kagalal Holvalig, Sayan Bapa, and Alexi Sariglar. We are lucky indeed to have you with us. Sayan Bapa, let me ask you, you're in the middle of that music. It evokes exactly the kind of place that Ted Levin described for us. When you play it, what's in your mind? Are you back in Tuva?
Yeah, it's definitely. We are all the time how we are playing together this. We are definitely back to home, and it's like our travel machine. I don't know how it's
called. Travel machine, time machine.
Yeah, time machine.
Are you in the city or in Taiga, Sayan?
No, it's around the tour, up in the tour. It's not inside.
All over
the tour. Not in the city. did you grow up in the countryside, the three of you, or did you grow up even nomadic? I know in the Soviet time that was discouraged to be fully nomadic. So how did you grow up?
Some grow up is like in small village, and in summertime I live with my grandfather and grandmother, and like in real countryside in yurt. And mostly I live in our. We just have two city, and mostly countryside. You know, I don't have so many villages and cities.
You three are a feast for the ears and the eyes. I should say, by the way, there's a photo gallery at our website, onpointradio.org, photos there from Ted Levin's book. Ted has worked with Hun Her Tu for a long time, and it's just a feast in every dimension. Ted Levin, you quote, well, I guess it's he's quoting you, Sayan, saying this is a music of wood, skin, and hair.
That's right.
the instruments you play here, really straight up out of that environment.
Yeah.
And Ted, you describe... you say nomads have taken the place in recent years, taken their place among the subversive heroes of modernity. We can hear that, but what do you mean?
I think that as I write in the introduction to this book, you know, for those of us who are increasingly yoked to computers and cell phones and mechanized transport. Nomads, I think, have come to symbolize what you might call the last vestige of a lost innocence, you know, a freedom and a kind of intuitive closeness to the natural world that our technology-laden lives have distanced us from. And I think there's, if you look around us, there's a lot of projects now, films and travelogues, coffee table books, some novels, the famous book of Bruce Chatwin, who wrote The Songlines about the Australian Aboriginals. And nomads, I think, really have become heroes for the postmodern world.
As symbols of the freedom and intuitive connection that the postmodern world cuts us off from. You write, Ted, that this is music of spirits, blessings, praise songs, rituals of healing. It's music all about nature, but at the same time, in the animistic culture of Tuva, all about spirituality.
Yes, absolutely. The spirituality arises from nature. That's what spirituality is for an animist and for a shamanist. And, of course, there's a lot of interest now in the West in those ideas as well.
We can't get enough of this. I want to hear some more if we can. There's a song, Borban Gadir. Can we hear that, Vladimir?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Alors.
This is Alexi Sariglar.
Olur da bol bolmaz da bolur. Bağnada bereynlerim olur.
Alexei Sariglar, and you can hear the throat singing there, the tunes playing one on top of another. What a sound, what a world it evokes. Jeff is calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to comment on, when I first heard it, I think I was harmonically ignorant. Afterwards, now everything I hear, from my leaf blower to cars driving by, I hear harmonics and everything. I've just been fully yes. amazed and enlightened by their music.
The whole world brought right up in harmony for you there.
It's amazing. It really is. And when I sit there sometimes, I get chills like you would with any other music, but it's just, I just think it's amazing. To my family's chagrin, sometimes I try to get it going on, but I don't have it. It is fun, though. It's neat.
Everybody wants to try it, but to get that high whistle above that great low tone that we just
right.
heard from Alexei, it's really something else. But I think you've keyed right into that kind of harmony of the whole world around us. Ted Levin, you write about the story told from centuries ago in the time of Gul'dan Khan, of a famous teacher walking through the bamboo along the shore of a lake, I guess, hearing the wind blowing through the bamboo, wondering if it was possible to imitate that sound. Is that what we've just heard in Alexei's throat singing?
That episode of Barbang Nadir that Alexei sang was, I'm not sure that he had a particular image of bamboo or anything else in mind. You'd have to ask him what he was thinking of. But Barbang Nadir, it in Tuvan, that word means rolling, something that's rolling. And it's often used to represent the sounds of water rolling over stones in a riverbed. We have a wonderful recording that we made of one member of Hunhertu, he's now left the group, Tolya Kular, singing by the side of a river and interacting sonically with the rhythm and with the timbre, the color, the tonality of the flowing water, using that rolling, roiling sound in the Barbang Nadir.
And you remind us that Tuvan throat singing, Tuvan music, is all about timbre, about the color of sound.
Absolutely. That's one of the most interesting things about it. Whereas in the West, we're largely focused on melody and rhythm. For Tuvans, melody is relatively unimportant. It's all about timbre or color. And that's, of course, what the sound quality of that's the most important part of the sound quality of, say, wind or water.
Mm. Hunhertu is the group. They're with us opening their U.S. tour today. From south of Siberia, the north and west of Mongolia, an absolutely marvelous sound. You can join our conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Oh, Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com, and Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital, for more than 60 years helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services, in Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're diving into the world of Tuva throat singing in this hour. From southern Siberia, northern western Mongolia, now in Russia, long part of the Soviet Union when their nomadic tradition was discouraged. But now back, the kind of neo-nomads, and now global nomads, bringing their music to the world. The group is Hun Her Tu. They're starting another U.S. tour today. If you find them near you, go and hear them. They are absolutely extraordinary. They're with me in the studio, Kagalo Holvalig, Sayan Bapa, and Alexis Sariglar. Their comrade and translator, Vladimir Oboronko, is with us as well. And from Norwich, Vermont, we're joined by professor of music at Dartmouth College, Theodore Levin, author of the new book all about these men and this music. It's called Where Rivers and Mountains Sing. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. Julia is with us from Winchester, Massachusetts. Hi, Julia. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to thank you for such a lovely show. I had 3 points to make. It reminds me of 3 things, 2 from nature and 1 being the didgeridoo from Australia.
Mm.
The other 2 being, 1, I was once in the countryside away from traffic and other noises, and I heard an earthquake start, and the beginning and the sound was sort of harmonic like this, a very similar tone.
Yes.
And the third thing is the rainforest at night when all of the different sounds get going together with the birds and the insects and so forth. It makes that same sort of harmonic noise, and there's something so removed from hearing traffic and modern society in these musics that just all rings a bell that brings out sort of the true tones of nature.
Julia, you put the poetry right to it, the words right to it, and we thank you for your call. Vladimir, when Hun Her Tu performs around the country, around the world, and they've mm-hmm. performed all mm-hmm. over at this point, what is the response that you get from audiences that you see?
Overwhelming, seriously. If people never heard them, they come after the concert and say that this is the most profound music and profound experience they've ever experienced. And it happens all around the world. And I think, and musicians and I were talking about that, we think that this music evokes some ancient memories of our shared human past.
Ted Levin makes that point as well. We want to keep hearing it. There's another piece, Sigit, that I think Kagalol might perform for us, if we could hear it.
You could tell us, you know, what's the image in your own minds, or if you could ask Kagalal the image in his mind as he sings that song, what's the mental image, the place that he's bringing to mind?
So I think it's mostly his mind is from the words, you know, this is how men, it's song, it's herder song, it's how men sit in front of the river and see how beautiful place and see how beautiful weather, and he singing and he feel it first time, first plan and feel it, just nature and just do it this sound, just first is feel it, you know, this it doesn't have too much mind it about the words. It's sound from the feel, I think.
As a herder sitting by the river.
Yeah.
Ted Levin, you say that when you first began to talk with Tuvans about this, it was difficult for them because this was so familiar and so natural that they scarcely had a vocabulary for speaking about it as something distant from themselves.
Yeah, you could say that this is music that's learned but not taught. It's something that they grow up hearing around them. Young people just start doing it, and it's as natural for them as speaking.
You're right that they now live, though, that these are people who know Mozart and Miles Davis, that you've got shamans in Tuva that read Carlos Castaneda and hold workshops in Mill Valley, California, that they live, you write, Ted, in a kind of cultural equipoise between this deep ancient culture that we hear in the music and the world in which they are today nomads, which is the whole globalized planet.
Yeah, that's true, not, of course, of all Tuvans, but of a surprising number of groups like Hunhertu that are traveling and exporting this music. Hunhertu was the first to do it, and they've had the most success, and they've been a big inspiration for other younger people now growing up in Tuva. The last time I was in Kızıl, the capital of Tuva, I learned that in that city, which has about 100,000 people, there are over 20 groups of throat singers doing this kind of traditional music. I think that's a remarkable testimony to the tradition itself, but also to the people's belief in their own cultural heritage and in the power of what this gives them.
Mm. Vladimir, if you could do some translating for me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask Kagalo Holovig what he first made of the response of audiences outside of Tuva when he first began performing abroad in Europe or the U.S. What did he think of the audience's response?
Kagalo. Когда на Западе вы стали выступать, да, и публика реагирует, естественно, какие у тебя были первые ощущения, вот когда ты с публикой, с реакцией публики встретился?
Was he surprised at how enthusiastic people were?
Удивился от энтузиазма или, я не знаю, не ожидал такого, или какие реакции были, скажи?
Нет, нормально все.
А?
Нормально.
Pretty normal, he said.
Normal. Does he think that they understand what he's singing, the heart of it.
Ты думаешь, они понимают, о чем ты поешь, как бы вот суть, сердце, как бы вот того, о чем ты поешь, о чем ваша музыка? Ты думаешь, слушатели на Западе понимают это?
Да, мне кажется, они понимают. Они же чувствуют, слышат, что вот звуки неестественные, поэтому они, ну, чувствуют как.
Ага, ага. Kagalo thinks that he thinks that people understand here in the West and that they hear this very unusual sounds and these sounds produce some feeling of recognition as them.
He's a modest and generous man to give that understanding to everyone. Ted, how exactly are the multiple tones made in the throat? How does that happen?
You have to shape your vocal apparatus, the tongue, the jaws, lower jaw, the velum, the upper palate, lips. You have to shape it very precisely to amplify the overtones that are there in everyone's voice. Basically, everyone can do this kind of singing. To get it as loud and as clear as what the members of Hunhertu do requires practice, and you have to build up muscles. But in principle, anyone, both men and women, can make these sounds by just training your mouth to focus on a very narrow bandwidth and to amplify those selected harmonics.
And you write this not only comes out of a kind of animistic sense of the world, but in part comes out of real direct communication with animals, with the livestock and creatures that Tuvans historically spent their time with.
Yes, it's true that Tuvan herders, like herders anywhere, communicate with their animals. They command their animals by using different kinds of calls and cries. And among the Tuvans and among the Mongolians also, some of these involve throat singing.
In that last piece from Kagalol, you could hear both the throat singing and the sort of cantering rhythm of the horse in the background there, another very dominant kind of rhythm and theme in this music.
Yes, that's true. You heard that earlier. They sang Eki Atar, Good Horses, one of their most popular songs, which is all about galloping or cantering horse rhythms. And I think that's something that maybe it's one of the reasons they've been so successful in the United States, because we have this cowboy legacy.
Oh, it sounds like we've lost Ted Levin for a moment there. Let's take a call from Casper, Wyoming. Mark is calling. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
How you doing? I was just listening to these guys. They are absolutely fabulous. And
they
I was
are.
Wondering.
Yes, sir.
Since they're on tour, like in the United States, do they ever visit places like maybe the Grand Canyon or the Badlands and do some musical compositions based upon what they see or feel or hear while they're there to take back to their people?
That's a great question, Mark, and we thank you for it. Sayan Bapa, what about it? Has any of your music been inspired by landscapes abroad, by American landscapes?
Американская природа какое-нибудь действие оказала на вашу музыку?
Ну, в том-то is definitely yes. Is how we are travel is we are see this many very similar place like in our tour. This like Portland, Oregon, or here, just North England, and or Canada. It's very, very landscape. It's made it for us. It's very kind of happy, and how we are playing the nature in the some festival. It's very important for us as well. Mm.
But you, Ted Levin writes of you back in Tuva going to a local shaman for advice about this, at the same time, the stress of doing that traveling, the way it takes you away from the land of your inspiration, how a kind of global nomad can lose your bearings sometimes. Is it hard?
What it means bearings?
Well, sense of balance.
It's definitely not. It's why this we have all the time with me. It's like I have this poetry. If I have this, my kargara, it's like my back in the my behind it. My kargara.
Kargara, your throat.
Yeah.
Your throat,
yeah.
Singing.
Mm-hmm. It's I don't need it instruments. I don't need it everything. This if I have this voice, I have kargara, I am happy. This kargara is all the time with me. You know?
Travels with you.
Yes.
So and you carry it's your tuba with you also, right? Through kargara.
Mm. Our time grows short. I wonder if we can hear at least one more piece live here. There's a piece, Ancestors, that I've heard. It's absolutely wonderful. If we could hear from Hunhurtu, Ancestors.
şelille haber alla şalvar odo.
Tuvan throat singers, Hun Her Tu with Ancestors. Ted Levin, you write that this music connects us with our collective past, but also somehow, you say you hope, holds the future. What do you mean by that?
I think it calls us to a better listening, a better quality of attention. That's what I find inspiring about this music. Some of the callers referred to that, that it's helped them listen differently to the sounds around them, the world around them. And I think if there's a music that can do that, that we need to pay attention to it.
We're very grateful to everyone in this hour. It's been a real privilege. And I want to thank the members of Hun Her Tu with us, Kargalol Holvalig, Sayan Bapa, and Alexei Sariglar. We wish you very good luck on your tour. We wish you good times and good spirits along the way. Vladimir Oberonko, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for translating
today.
It
was so nice to be here.
And Ted Levin in Norwich, thank you so much for all of your work over the years on this, and thank you for helping us peer into it today. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Ted,
thank
we'll
you,
see you soon.
We hope to see you all again soon. Ted Levin's new book is Where Rivers and Mountains Sing. You can see a photo gallery of pictures from the book at our website, onpointradio.org. The group is Hun Her Tu. If they're near you, do not miss them. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.